Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ripley, little finger to the big boss. Man, a.k.a. police, guess I'm over your head like it's all. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Kill these niggas, want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Roll about, but that shit loud. It ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like, nah, say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep, cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axel, my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it, I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic, not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty, but we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking out my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, well, you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. Cause I be hopper playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I fly as a cross. Body, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico. Talking to the bad guy, truth picking your eyes. I'm that guy. Hey y'all, something happened to.
Welcome to Wrestling It Factor Radio for July 2nd, 2015. Your host with the most, Wayne Benitez, along with my co-host Tommy Two Chips.
Hey, going on? Good to be here tonight.
Good. Everything's good. Except for not yet, the drilling going to be this weekend.
Oh, yeah. <Cook out. laughs> I'm scheduled to go to one this weekend, too.
Right, yeah. We have a special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. He's been all over the United States, all over the wrestling scene. Give it up for Desmond Xavier.
Hey, hey Desmond. Tonight?
How's it going?
Good, man. Welcome to Wrestling X Factor.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, definitely honor. And were you a wrestling fan growing up?
Oh, of course. I mean, it definitely was something that was instilled in me as a young kid. I remember watching it with my dad back in early WCW days. I'm a high flyer, so of course I was exposed to Rey Mysterio at a young age. So that's somebody that I look up to and somebody that I like to emulate a lot when I'm inside of the ring.
And do you have a athletic background outside of wrestling?
Yeah, I do. I've done martial arts, a little bit of capoeira, done football, basketball, soccer, wrestling, track, tennis. I've done a little bit of everything, so I like to be a jack of all trades.
And that's what's up. Also, you was also part of the Air Force also. How was that experience also?
I joined the Air Force right out of high school pretty much. I was 18, and I got to travel the world. It opened up a lot of opportunities for me, and I was definitely blessed to be able to follow that route in life. I was a security police or military police, security forces to be specific, in the Air Force. And I lived 2 years in Italy, and then I spent 4 years in Andrews, Maryland.
Good. Excellent. Definitely fighting for this country.
Definitely. I mean, somebody's got to do it. There's a lot of us that are doing it, but not everybody's willing to step up to the plate and take the fight to the enemy, I guess you could say.
Right. What are your memories of training at Gilbert?
Oh man, it was a lot of great times. Started out a little bit rough, of course. But, I mean, I don't mean rough as in, like, a bad thing. Rough as in the training. I wanted to progress myself, but they kept me humble and made sure that I had the fundamentals down to where they were second nature and before I really started to, I guess, blossom. And I definitely owe that to them. Earl the Pearl, Ramblin' Rich Myers, Ronnie Zuko, they were the ones that really helped forge and make Desmond Xavier.
Right, definitely legends of MCW, the Holy Rollers and Zuko.
Yes, very much so. It was an honor to be trained by them.
Right. What's your thoughts of Gilbert, Dwayne Gilbert?
I didn't really get too much time to interact with him. He was doing a lot of the behind the scenes type stuff. In the ring, it was mainly Earl, Rich, and Ronnie that were teaching all of us the tricks of the trade. But when Gilbert did get in the ring, he definitely was very hard-nosed and taught us the way that you're supposed to learn everything, which is proper, and making sure that you have the correct sportsmanship and professionalism when you step inside of that ring and then also when you're inside of the locker room, too.
Yes, Tommy, do you have any questions for Desmond Xavier?
Yes, I have a question. I am a big fan of high flyers. I like high flyers and everything. But over the years, I've heard stories that high flyers been, you know, asked to tone down the style a little bit. Have anyone approached you, Mr. Xavier, about toning down your style because of the high risk moves and everything?
Not necessarily to tone down my style. They know that I put everything inside of the matches that I do. So they already understand that I'm going to be flying around the ring. I'm going to be doing some kicks. I'm going to be doing some suplexes. I'm going to be doing some slams. So they already know that that's going to be happening. But with toning down things, I can understand where they're coming from with it, because if you're going to be constantly doing shows and going to be moving around, you're going to be on the road, it makes sense for you to kind of do things that have less of a risk factor. And with that lower risk factor, that means that you're able to do more shows, which means that you're able to do more shows, make more locations, make more money, and reach a larger fan base.
Yes, I agree with that. But I have to say that the House Wives, when it comes like in TNA Impact, the X Division, where a lot of high flyers are, that's the hottest. That's where TNA.
That's where it's at.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it is. And then what fans want to see, you know? But
and,
I just.
Go ahead. My bad, man.
I just feel that it doesn't get enough. High flyers do not get a lot of respect from promoters. That's how I feel, you know? Like Daniel Bryan. is a high flyer. I consider him a high flyer. You know, he does have like some back wrestling, you know, in his repertoire, but the man's a high flyer.
WWE definitely toned him down a lot. I remember watching TNA when they have first started to branch off from NWA Wild Style, and seeing AJ Styles, Low-Key, Amazing Red, Psychosis, and all of them doing their thing. And like I was like, yo, like this is where I want to be. When before I actually decided to join the military, I was actually going to enroll in the training program that TNA had. But money wasn't where it needed to be. So I had to count my losses and take the opportunities that were given to me at the moment.
Oh, wow. But everything happens for a reason. You know what they say? I believe
very
you're
true.
Going to be successful. You're going to be successful eventually. No doubt about that.
I greatly appreciate it.
Do you have any you go finish off Tommy with it. Yeah.
Okay, so out of the current high flyers right now in wrestling, do you like anybody in particular? You know, Impact or WWE or Lucha Underground?
There's a number of people that I can start spitting off. I guess I'll start with the people that influenced me the most. I'd have to say Adrian Neville, Rich Swann, Ricochet, who else? Jay Rios, Cruz, pretty much Los Bendejos.
Mm-hmm.
That's their tag team. You know them. Who else? Man, there's a good amount of people that actually strongly influenced me in the ring. And then people that I would love to have matches with, man, I can't even express how many people I would love to have matches with. but who knows? Who knows what the future holds? So, but, yeah, I really look up to Rich Swann a lot for the career that he's had and the way that he's traveled. And with him still being on the independent circuit, I think I have more of a chance of running into him. So, Rich, if you're ready to have a match, just let me know, man.
Very cool.
Definitely one of the talents out here that definitely belongs in the WWE at NXT or on the main roster.
Oh, what's that? I'm sorry.
Do you think that Rich Swann definitely deserved to be on the on a WWE roster or NXT?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Without a question, without a doubt. Like, he has the charisma. He has the moveset. And he's very unique. There's not very many people that have his style. So I have to I can easily say that he could be a dominant fool in NXT, TNA, Ring of Honor, WWE, wherever it may be. No matter where he goes, he's definitely going to make a splash. Kind of not a play on his name, Swan, Pond, Splash, you know what I mean, but yeah.
Do you have memories of your first debut match?
I do. My debut match was a match against Ivan Dragov. At MCW's Rage TV TV, and I got my butt whooped for a good solid, I say maybe 6 or 7 minutes, but definitely gave it my all. I put forth a good effort, and it was just a butt whooping pretty much.
All right. What's your thoughts of Dan McDevitt?
Oh, huge, huge amount of respect for him. For him to be able to take an opportunity on myself and my tag team partner at the time, Phoenix Fury, and allow it to come in as the Unleashed was definitely a boost of confidence. confidence and shows the amount of trust that he had in us to allow us to get out in the ring and exhibit the skills that we had honed at Gilbert's Pro Wrestling Academy.
I definitely both of y'all also definitely like the Lucha style also.
That we do. He's a bit Phoenix Fury is a bit more of a Lucha Libre style. I'm more of a what's called a I guess a strong style or the Parishu style from Japan, which is a lot more strikes, a lot more suplexes, and a little bit more of a hard hitting style.
Right. What is your thoughts of Mustafa?
My views of Mustafa. I had a run in with him at PCW's at Tribal Conflict Wrestling, and he sat on my chest, and I didn't quite appreciate that. No hard feelings. He was trying to establish some dominance. I just so happened to be the guy in the ring to for him to establish that dominance on. But great wrestler. As far as I can remember, he's a great guy, and I have a feeling that our paths will cross once again. And but this time, I'm ready for him. I've done a lot of practicing, done a lot of evaluating my style, and a lot of growing. That's the main thing, is that I've grown a lot from back then. And he's in for a fight if we happen to step to the ropes again.
You definitely also worked with his cousin, Chuck Lennox of Black Wall Street.
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts of him also?
Chuck Lennox, the paper man. I got a lot of respect for him. Coming up in training, he was one of the guys that I went up against to hone my skills. And when I finally made it to the roster at MCW, we had some run-ins with him there too. And it was definitely a fight. And all around, great wrestler, great mat work, great technician. But he's also a high flyer too. Don't sleep on him climbing the top rope and dropping a nice elbow drop or splash on you, because he can do that too. Also, dive outside of the ring. Don't let the money fool you. He can definitely get in the ring and work.
Right. Also, what's your memory most highlights of AIWF First Class Wrestling?
AIWF First Class Wrestling is where I'm primarily at right now here in Ohio. I love it. It's a great promotion. They're on the definitely on the rise. There's a little bit of a turf war going on out here between them and another company, which they shall not be named. But AIWF First Class is definitely on the rise. They have a great roster, great locker room, and a great crowd, and the promoter cares about his workers. So that's one thing that makes a difference. If you really care about the person that you're working for and that you're working with, it means that you are willing to, or that you're able to get out there and really give a great effort for the fans and make sure that they walk out of there knowing that they got what they got their money's worth. But every single time I step to the curtain and step inside of the ring, they're going to get their money's worth, hands down, period, point blank, because that's just how I am.
Right. And you definitely won gold in that company also, definitely.
Yeah, for them to actually take an opportunity on me, I gotta give them a shout-out really quick. Because when I first moved back to Ohio from Maryland, nobody would even take a look in my direction. And I was pushing my resume out there. I was letting people know, like, hey, this is who I was trained by. This is who I've been in the ring with. This is what I can do. And AIWF was, First Class was the first people to actually allow me in, accept me as family, and give me the opportunity to exhibit what I can do. And I gave people the opportunity. They had the chance to get me while I was cheaper than dinner. But now I'm gonna make them work for it. But still, no matter what, I'm gonna give my best effort no matter where I go, because that's just how I was trained. That's how I am as a person. And I'm gonna give. I can't even say 100% because I make sure I leave it all out there in the ring.
Tommy, do you have any questions for some more questions for Desmond?
Yes, I have one more question. One question.
What you got, bro?
If you had to go back in time, I mean, had to go back to the wrestling, you know, wrestling from the 50s and 60s, what two wrestlers would you like to wrestle against from any time period?
Ooh, this is a good question.
For any federation, it could be a New Japan Pro, it could be anywhere, from 50s all the way up to the present. Two wrestlers. Yeah.
I'm glad you said two, because if you would have said one, it would have made it even worse. But growing up, when I didn't really – I wasn't too much into wrestling at the time, but I was still a big fan of it, huge Macho Man fan. He was definitely somebody that was a great person at heart, from what I had seen and heard. And when he was inside of the ring, his style was just amazing. He made himself seem so much more larger than life than what he was. And I want to just be able to be in the ring and experience that as an opponent. And give him my best effort. But actually, you know what? If I could have been thrown into that triple threat made it a triple threat between Ricky the Driving Steamboat and Macho Man, I could die happy. That's probably one of my favorite matches. Or let's say my two favorite matches I would like to inject myself into. So we'll say that match there, and then the Halloween Havoc between Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero. If I can jump into that match too, that I could die a happy man.
Whoa, those are good matches. Oh, wow. You know you're wrestling. Whoa.
Yeah, those would be the matches that I would love to jump into the most, because I have such a high respect for all four of those wrestlers, and it's. And that's why I kind of had to tweak that question a little bit. Actually, I had to tweak it a lot. I added two more people into it, and then I made it into a match. But yeah, if I could, I would love to be in those two matches if I could be.
Good answer.
What's your thoughts of Tony Evergreen, working with him?
Tony Evergreen. He's a special one. He's an amazing worker in the ring. He definitely has a speed that not very many people can keep up with. Luckily, I'm one that can, and it always makes for a good match as soon as we are standing across from each other in the ring. I look forward to more matches that we can have between the two of us. And, definitely a great kid, great worker, and he's going to have a bright future if he keeps his head on straight. Another great guy, Dre Jacobs. We had a triple threat match between the two of us, and it wore me out. I came out on top, but it definitely wore me out. Dre Jacobs was definitely somebody that almost knocked my teeth out. He's the reason why I actually started wearing a mouth guard. He gave me an uppercut one time, and it rattled my teeth. felt like my eyeball shook inside of my head too. But he, those two are people that I have earned my respect the hard way by kind of pushing me to the limit to get it. And another guy, Doug Charles, he's another great worker that I had had a great match with, and it's probably up there with one of my favorites.
Do you have any thoughts of working with Cody? Cody Hawk also?
Yes. Cody Hawk taught me a lot in just that one match that we had. A very unique style, very old school, very, very methodical, and very hard-nosed and hard-hitting. And he took me to the limit in a different way. It wasn't physically to where, am I going to be able to keep up with this? It was physically, can I handle this anymore? And I gave him my best effort against him. He came out on top on that one. He got the best of me on that one. But in the future, I kind of learned some of his tricks. And in the future, I'm definitely going to push him a little bit more the next time that we're able to step into the ring together. But Cody Hawk, a Ohio veteran, Ohio legend. And if you are in the Ohio area and you're looking for a great, reputable school to learn from, definitely get in contact with Cody Hawk. He's taught a lot of people, that have made it big. And number one person that I can throw out there is Dean Ambrose. He helped him a lot early in his career, and you can see where he's gotten. So if you have the right mentality, the proper training, the sky's the limit in this business.
Definitely, most definitely. And do you think that WWE Monday Night Raw is too long of a program for 3 hours and over 3 hours every Monday?
I'm kind of a hard person to ask that question for. With how the WWE is turning more towards the entertainment section, where they want to make people laugh, they want to make people smile, and all that kind of stuff. I miss the wrestling aspect of it. I miss just straight up matches. I understand that you want to have some storylines in there. You want to make people, want to have people emotionally invested in these matches. Which, no matter what, if you have two great workers in there, people are going to automatically become emotionally invested in it. They're going to want their favorite wrestler to win no matter what. And I just feel that they need to start bringing up some of the talent that they have been grabbing off of the independent circuit and giving them the opportunity. They have so much talent in NXT. And as soon as they come to the main roster, people that have not seen these people that are coming from the indies work, they're in for a great show. If they're able to jam-pack the matches of all of them together inside of that 3 hours, I would love watching Raw. I personally DVR Raw so I can fast forward through the commercials because I hate commercials. I definitely get to the nitty gritty when it comes to Monday Night Raw. So my quote unquote 3 hours is a lot shorter than people that like to watch it live.
Right, definitely. And it's just been overkill since they've been 3 hours. It just reminds me of Nitro when they went 3 hours and they never recovered ever since.
Yeah, I do remember that. And it can kind of overexpose it to people, and they can kind of get tired of it, and they can only do so much so many times inside of that 3 hours to the point that it becomes monotonous and people don't really care about it anymore. I do sometimes find myself fast-forwarding through matches just because I don't necessarily care about it. But I do have the ones that I have to stop. I have to study. And then I go back and watch it again. And then I watch it to, well, I watch it first to enjoy it. Then I go back and I watch it to study it. And then I go back again to study it again. And depending on who it is, I study it a couple times. But it's the 3-hour thing, it's good, but it's bad at the same time. It just depends on how you look at it and in which light.
Definitely, even though their storyline's been not that good, except for maybe like the John Cena open challenge segment is always the best one on there for the last several weeks now.
Yeah, I completely agree. The John Cena U.S. Open Challenge has been one thing that I always stop to watch. Because I always look forward to who's going to come out for it. And I'm not a John Cena fan necessarily, but I respect him as a person for everything that he does with the Make-A-Wish Foundation and all of his fans and things like that. Inside of the ring, I know people like to call him the master of the five moves and all that kind of stuff. But I remember John Cena early in his career, and he has a great moveset. He has a lot of skill in the ring, too. And when he does these open these U.S. Open challenges, it shows that he's able to work so many different people. It doesn't matter what style they do, how big they are, how small they are, how fast, how powerful they are, and it just shows his all-aroundness. So it makes it seem like I'm a fan of him. I like him, but I'm not hustle, loyalty, and respect type of person. But I do give him his respect for what he does in the ring.
Right.
I'm the same way. My favorite Cena match of all time, him and Shawn Michaels had an Iron Man match on Raw. I think it was back 2005, or between 2005-2007. They went 1 hour. That was like one of my favorite matches, my favorite Cena match of all time. So yeah, he can wrestle. He has a lot of moves. He can wrestle. He can compete with anybody.
Yep, that he can.
Yeah, but he was more over because of his promo skills doing spitting rap verses. So that's everyone missed that kind of Cena right there.
Yeah, when he was having his little feud with The Rock, and he kind of brought it back a little bit, it brought a little bit of a nostalgic feel to it too. I cracked a smile a couple of times when I saw him coming out with his Doctor of Thugonomics mentality.
Yeah,
definitely very. That was definitely very edgy. So, and that was. Yeah, but all the tragic events of Benoit that took place got rid of the Attitude Era or the Push the Envelope Era.
Yeah, and that's another great wrestler that sadly is going to always get kind of overlooked because of how things ended with him. But Chris Benoit, hands down, one of the best technicians inside of that ring. He was in a class. I don't want to say a class of his own because there's a lot of people that are up there too. But he was a very unique wrestler, and I have a lot of respect for him, no matter what other people may say. But yeah, he's definitely one of my favorites, I always try to watch some of his matches when I'm on the WWE Network and able to jump into the WCW time frame and even a lot of his WWE matches too. But yeah, Chris Benoit, still definitely one of my favorites.
Right. And he was definitely Dynamite Kid was that also mentoring him also because of his high flying and even strong style also.
Yes, Dynamite Kid. When you want to look for a career that was sadly cut way too short, then he's probably the person that jumps up first in my mind. Amazing, way ahead of his time. Him and his matches against Tiger Mask. Oh my gosh. It's hard to even just put words for how amazing those matches, and again how far ahead of time those matches were. If you were to even put those matches in a show in the present, it would still captivate and entertain the fans, no matter what kind of style that you like. They did everything, and it's so sad and tragic how his career just ended because of a simple step over, and that just goes to show you that no matter what you do, the simplest thing can cut your career short. You could be walking around in the ring and you misstep, you roll your ankle, and it completely snaps all the tendons and ligaments that you have in your ankle, and you can never wrestle again. It's a very scary thing, and it's something that always runs through my mind every single time I step inside of the ring. But Jeff Hardy, he said in one of his little documentaries for the WWE that little bit of fear is what makes it so much more of a greater payoff. If you don't have that fear, it's not as fulfilling, and it makes it seem so much better when you're able to accomplish everything that you do in that ring in the midst of all that fear.
Yeah, it's definitely a risk-taking business. Also, do you see yourself one day going to Japan or other countries to work?
That is an ultimate goal. I don't want to say it's my ultimate goal, but it's one of my goals. It's something that I do plan on accomplishing before my career is done. I am a huge fan of Dragon Gate and New Japan. So with those being, of course, based out of Japan, I want to get over there to actually experience that, because the Japanese culture, in reference to wrestling, you are treated like a superhero. You're treated like a god. And it's a different kind of fan base than what it is here in the United States. And it's something that I would love to experience firsthand, not just reading it or seeing it on the internet and things like that. I want to be a part of it. And I want to make my mark no matter where I go, and I want to take advantage of every single opportunity that is given to me because of wrestling. And by the grace of God, I pray that I'm able to accomplish every single thing that I desire.
That's what's up. Tommy, do you have any questions to ask him one more time?
No, he's summed up a lot of stuff.
What's your opinion of Tough Enough for WWE reality show?
With Tough Enough, let me first off say Team Patrick. I got a lot of love, and I'm giving out a lot of support to my homeboy Patrick Clark out there on Tough Enough. I didn't get a chance to make it on there, but there's always next year if they decide to bring it back. But with Tough Enough, I love the concept. I remember watching Tough Enough when I was a kid and seeing the things that they were doing and thinking, like, yo, I wholeheartedly feel that I can do this. Now that I'm a grown man and have an understanding of how wrestling is, I still feel that I can 100% do this. And given the opportunity, I feel that I would be able to take advantage of getting that contract. But right now, with the reality aspect of it and everything, it's going along with the entertainment thing. So their reality TV is still that thing that people desire, and it's that thing that people like to watch. So it's going to continue to be around. So I see why it spills over into the wrestling industry. But with Tough Enough, it's a great opportunity for people that may not have had the chance to go to a place to be trained properly or have the opportunity to even step into the ring. I still feel that you should have that strong desire to be a professional wrestler, to be on that show, which, of course, my homeboy Patrick does. And I'm definitely pulling for him. So 100% Team Patrick. Let's go ahead and get this contract for you and make a name for yourself, man.
Yeah, definitely. He definitely deserves it. And he's the most the only wrestler on there that has experience way more than the other ones that come from modeling, bodybuilders or like
alligator wrestling and yeah, he's and I feel that gives him a definite edge on everybody else because he understands things. He knows what to do and how to do it. And he's young, but he's extremely smart. And another major thing that you need to have in this business is being humble. And he is extremely humble. Humility is one of the traits that he has. Is one of the strongest traits that he has. Also, his desire and his his determination. Even if he does happen to be taken off of the show, he's still going to continue to fight. He will continue to make a name for himself. This is just a major, major opportunity and a major stepping stone for him. And I already know that he's going to take full advantage of it. And right now, he's my front runner for actually winning it all.
Exactly. Definitely deserve the contract.
Sure.
And what's your opinion of Alexander, the guy that got put in the place by Hulk Hogan for not knowing the history, doesn't think the history of wrestling is important to him or any other knowledge of the business?
Oh, wow. With that, I'm not somebody that likes to dwell on the past, but Patrick said it perfectly. You have to know your past so that you do not repeat it. For you to say that you do not need to have knowledge of the wrestling business in order to make it is completely crazy. For him to even allow those words to come out of his mouth, it's completely I don't even know what to say. It should not have been said in any way, shape, or form. And the reaction of everybody else was perfect because it's true. That was the dumbest thing that anybody could have ever said. You need to know wrestling. You need to know the history. You need to know where it came from so that you can help it progress to where it needs to be. It's a ever-evolving business. And you need to be able to evolve with it. If you don't know how to adjust, to adapt, and overcome what happens, then you're going to get eaten and pass through and move to the other side. And you need to know where you came from, not necessarily you per se, but where the business came from so that you can know where you need to get to. And that's just, again, another testament to what to the knowledge that Patrick has and where he's going to end up being because he took the time to get that knowledge.
Right. Yeah, he lucky it wasn't someone like a Taz or a Jim Cornette, that would eat them alive.
Yeah. That would have been bad. Really bad.
Yeah, it's even though the all of this it's like Amazing Race competition things have nothing to do with how to take bumps in the ring.
Yeah, with the Amazing Race type things, that's kind of a thing for anybody. If you have the determination to get through that, you'll be fine with it. But with wrestling, it's a different kind of thing. You have to have the heart for it. If you do not have that special something inside of you, you're not going to make it. No matter what you can do in the ring, no matter what skills you may bring to the table, if you don't have that strong desire in the pit of your stomach to make it in this business, you're not going to do it.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
About to run out of time. Do you have any plugs you want to plug for our listeners?
Where I do a little bit of self promotion, I guess. Follow me on I'm on Facebook. I don't have an Instagram or a Twitter like that. I'm not really on those kind of things. I should. But you can find me on Facebook. Just type in Desmond Xavier, Desmond with a Z, because I'm unique. And you'll be able to see all my matches that I have. I post them up on there. Also, they'll have the links to my YouTube. I want to say thank you to all my family and friends that are supporting me and giving me strength on this journey that I have. And I definitely have to take time to thank God for giving me the abilities and the strength to be able to persevere and do all this. And right now I want to thank you, Wayne, and Tom for giving me the opportunity to be here on Wrestling Hit Factor. So that's the end of my little plug there.
You're welcome. You're definitely welcome.
This is definitely a great opportunity for anybody, and it's a testament to that you're doing something right if you're able to get noticed to where you want to have him on your podcast. So this is definitely a eye opener for me that I'm doing something right, and I just need to put my head down and keep grinding. So I'm definitely going to do that, and thank you for this opportunity and let me know that I'm doing what I really need to do.
You're welcome, bro. You're welcome. You can come back anytime to the show.
Oh, just let me know when you're ready, man. Just let me know.
All right. Hear you that on that message thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You have a good night.
Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Thank you. Thank you. You both have a blessed night, and may everything continue to be as fruitful for you as it already has been. And you guys are doing a great thing. You guys are giving a lot of young guys opportunities to get their voice heard. And you're giving a lot of exposure with this, too. So you guys are doing a great thing, and I really appreciate it. We definitely need more people like you in this business.
Yes. Thank you. We definitely do. It's all about bringing in, putting over the future of wrestling from students, managers, wrestlers. It's like, All of above right there, definitely.
Yeah, have a good night, Mr. Baber. Have a good night, sir.
Thank you very much. You too, man.
All right.
Bye.
All right. See you later.
Later. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to download this episode, it's right on Wrestling X Factor Radio group page or at Wrestling X Factor Radio show fan page also. This is Wayne Benitez and signing off. Later.
Go ahead, pop off, me and my clique put on. I'm like a young McMahon, I'm here to get your bitch off. Like I'm Ric Flair, middle finger to the big boss. Man, a.k.a. police, guess I'm over your head like it's all. Kill these niggas, that's no problem. Chill, these niggas want no problem. That chopper body like Hornswoggle, can't see you shot him like Sin Cara. Rolling back with that shit loud, it ain't mine if that shit not. Ladies hate when I rip rude, but they in love with this Jake. It's like nah. Say hello to my python. I'm CM Punk with that mic, y'all. She go to sleep cause my pipe bomb. Winning, blessed I be hurting feelings. Niggas is Curtis Axe, so my rap is like Kurt Henning. In it, don't it? I'm such a charmer. Come crown Vic. Not talking whip, I'm thinking Lawler. Cause I'm royalty. But we talking cars, it's not a problem. Just bought two big bodies, call them Kamala and Umaga. What up? You're talking to the black guy. My gang real, but I ain't never been no vampire. Look at all that ice he got on. Bigger than that icy title. Picking out my pill, man, cause I still feel like I'm flying Brian. Who high as I am? Who fly as I am? Life is a bitch, well, you this rich is more than life in China. Get it? Strong ass hoe. They can say they want that smoke. Well, I'm Papa Shango. I'll be hover playing low. Get the ganja, no steamboat. And I'm fly as a crossbody, but I'm tired of saying so. So I do so with new producers and a slew of my latest verses. And a ruthless like Rusev move, I'll be through with you niggas first. Get back to work. You're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the... Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Toothpick in your eye. I'm that guy. Hey, y'all. Look. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey, y'all. Don't look like no Daniel B where they seeing me as a goat. Look, hey yo. Something happened to me, something happened to you, okay? Hey yo. You counting your little B's, my nigga, my G's low. Can I bother you with this rhyming? Man, I father niggas with rhyming. Heard they talking right from the sideline, like a part of me been declining. Nigga, argue often with liars, beside that, I got no choice. Rather be Heath Slater before I make it a doink. My point, I'd rather job than have my morals expire. Niggas getting back they bribes, I ain't told in a while. Is you mad or not? Is you rapping her out? She wrapped my cigar. Light it up because I'm grateful I just made it this far. God is pale in comparison. It's a shame, it's a problem. I'm so over forever. Now my stadium is pop. Niggas sweet like they really real, but be faker than raw. Oh nah, they flaw. I got, oh please, Dwayne Johnson, been number two around these parts. Oh nah, you know why? Cause most of my OGs in the 80s made a movie with Rod. Stop. Talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the... Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. I'm too sweet. I dare you niggas act fly. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Yeah, Chico. Yeah, Chico, you're talking to the bad guy. Toothpick in your eye, boy, don't ask why.